Chapter 31. Cast Out. Hilo remembered his instructors mentioning the Unascended during training as a footnote. The Unascended were rare Ash Angels who gained their seventh ascendancy but had not risen when their year was up. Even if they had spent more time explaining the phenomenon, Hilo doubted any description, however eloquent, could do the Unascended justice. While hard to fathom, normals would still see Rachel as just another woman walking down the street. The dreads would be able to spot her from orbit. She was as close to a heavenly being as Hilo could imagine, and if heaven were filled with beings like her, he had a long way to go before he felt comfortable rubbing shoulders with them.
"There you are, boy," Rachel said, a hint of the bayou in her accent. "It's been a long time I've been seeing you behind my eyes. What do they call you?"
"Hilo, ma'am." Rachel laughed.
"Ma'am, makes me feel like I'm in charge of something down here. Call me Rachel, Hilo. Glad you finally came. Been over 3 years since I've had your face in my head. Seen you even before that."
"I've only been an Ash Angel 3 months," Hilo said.
"That don't mean nothing. But I ain't too sure why I've had that mug of yours dancing around in my thoughts. And I ain't the only one. So what do you think, Grand Arcus? Why do you think this boy's been stuck in my head? What's his next assignment?"
"I was hoping for a little wisdom from you, Rachel," Grand Arcus said, "because the truth is that his next assignment is no assignment at all. When you asked me to bring him, I thought you might have something for him to do while he's out on his own."
"On my own? Were they cutting him loose?"
"Let me explain," the Grand Arcus said, "for the benefit of you both. Hilo, I want to make it clear that you are not being punished. You've done good work for the Ash Angel organization. It was the majority vote of the Archive that your connection to the Dread Woman and her ability to track you make you a liability until either she is dead or the source of the leak is found. We're going to ask you to make your own way for a while, do you understand?"
Out of the AAO? Hilo suddenly felt like a boat without an anchor, not quite sure what to say. He certainly wouldn't miss the bureaucracy, but to not have contact with his team or be able to finish what he had started stung. What was he supposed to do with his time? No apartment, no money. Ash Angels didn't need much, but he didn't want to live under a bridge. Rachel's glowing hand brushed his cheek. He glanced up, finding her smiling sympathetically.
"Thank you, Grand Arcus. I believe I can take it from here. I know why our boy is here now."
The Grand Arcus's eyebrows raised.
"Are you sure? I'd be happy to—"
"Go on and shoo," Rachel ordered.
"Don't you ascend without me," the Grand Arcus ordered on his way out.
Rachel waited for the vault door to bang shut before waving for Hilo to follow her deeper into the shelves, her aura casting a warm bubble of divine light about them.
"Why are you so bright?" Hilo asked.
Rachel shrugged.
"All unascended are. You blanks get a little aura envy, I bet. No one likes to feel like the candle that won't light, but don't you worry. The light's inside you whether it comes out to shine for all to see or not. It's not your light anyway."
"Not my light?"
"No, sir. You think all the crazy things we can do come from us? We dance in borrowed shoes to music we can't play. God shines. And if we keep the windows clean, that light just fills us up and we can do what we never could alone. You might be a blank, Hilo, but I can still see you burning bright. So tell me about the Dread Woman. Do you know her name?"
"She goes by Dahlia, but when I talked with her on the plane, she said she would tell me her real name. She said it would give me some clue as to who is behind the dread problems."
"And did she?"
"Yes," Hilo said.
"She said it was Aklimon, but I've never heard that name before in my life, so I don't know why it would help anything."
Rachel smiled knowingly.
"Have you told the Scholars?"
"Well, I just told an interrogator. Not sure if it's made it to the Scholars yet or if it will. People think I'm making it up."
"Do you know the name?"
"I do," Rachel replied. "That she would claim to be Aklima is bold. If she is the Aklima, it would really turn over some apple carts. Is she dark-haired and as beautiful a woman as you've ever seen?
Yes.
Then it may be her. She's the other face I've seen, the two of you, for years now. You know the story of Cain and Abel in the Bible?
Sort of. Cain killed Abel. The first murder, right?
That's right. The Christian version has it that Cain got all in a huff over the Lord accepting Abel's sacrifice and not his, and that's why he killed him. A Jewish tradition throws in a few juicy details. You see, Cain and Abel each had a twin sister. Abel's twin sister was Jumelia. Cain's twin sister was a little dish named Aklima. When Adam told each brother to marry the other's twin, Cain got angry and wanted his own twin sister to wife. They settled the little contest with sacrifice, and that's when Cain lost, killed Abel, and ran off with his own sister. Quite the scandal, I'm sure.
They'll never believe it, Hilo conjectured.
Maybe. Maybe not. That won't matter to you. I've been unascended for 32 years. 32. You're not even that old, are you?
No.
It's so strange. Well, it said we are unascended because we haven't finished some task uniquely ours. I think I know mine now.
Rachel stopped and turned, face troubled.
You want to kill her, don't you?
She helped me take down a plane full of innocent people. She's a dread, of course I do. Rachel reached out and grabbed his hand, her radiance enveloping him. His feelings softened, like when his mom blew on a burn. Her radiance grew in glory and power.
This is the message I have been bidden to give you, Hilo. It's about Dahlia. Believe her. If you do, she will save you.
His eyes were slits, so overwhelming was the light. Save me how?
In all the ways that matter. Listen carefully, Hilo. My time is short. In the economy of heaven, there is a hope for every hurt, a love for every loss, and a savior for every Satan. Remember that. I have a gift to give you before my chariot swings down to carry me home. Think hard now. If you could choose one bestowal for your own, which would you choose?
He could no longer see her form, his vision completely washed out, and he closed his eyes, fearing they would be burned from their sockets. He needed time to think.
I don't know. When you do, say my name and it will be given. Tell the Grand Arcus I am sorry. He is a good man. Trust him too. Remember my name, Hilo. I am the Angel Lumina.
The radiance behind his eyelids faded, and he opened them again. Rachel rose slowly toward the ceiling, a star of power on a journey to the sky. She passed through the roof of the room, and everything went dark. Only the aura of the sanctified weapons cast small pools of light along the back wall. The life of the room was gone, the warmth and reverence replaced by an empty cold. His emotions and thoughts wandered between the marvelous power of the experience and the perplexing message. Believe Dahlia? Hilo had believed her, though after the downing of the plane he doubted her sincerity. Why would believing her save him? Would she keep following him around? Keep helping him? The whirring and clanging of the door opening startled him, and he moved out of the shelves to see who was coming. Maybe the soldiers had come to collect him for more questions. To his relief, Cassandra, Corinth, and Goldbow entered, faces grim. Lights, Cassandra barked, and the room was illuminated by lights in the floor and ceiling.
So I guess you've heard I'm gone, Hilo said while walking to meet them. You guys get kicked out too?
No, Hilo, Cassandra said. Look, it's not fair, and it sucks and everything else. Just hang in there, okay?
Just me then?
Yeah, it should be me too, Cassandra replied. But with Ramus the head of the Gabriels now.
You're kidding, Hilo interjected, shocked.
I wish I was. Maggie resigned, or rather was forced to resign, and since our boy Ramus gets results, he's our new head of the Gabriels.
Sucks,
but since he is one of the few members of the Archai who trusts me, I get to stay on. Maggie's going to disappear for a while like you, but by choice. When you get to wherever you're going, they'll get you some starter cash and an Ash Angel phone. It will only work for 10 minutes before sunset. When they're ready for you to come back in, they'll send a message. Otherwise, the phone is a pretty worthless brick. Get a normal phone and send me the number. I'll try to keep you filled in.
Hilo nodded, feeling like a kid being forced to go to summer camp while the rest of the family went to Disneyland.
All right. Thanks, Cassandra, for everything.
Think of it as a vacation, Hilo. I'll be sure to have a stack of forms waiting for you when you get called in.
Can't wait, he said, forcing a smile.
Take care, my friend, Corinth said, laying a man hug on him.
Hilo turned to Goldbow and shook his hand.
Take care of her, Goldbow.
He put his arm around Cassandra's waist, eyes bright.
You got it.
Cassandra threw him a gooey, affectionate look so not her that Hilo nearly fell over. On a face he was so used to seeing in the throes of irritation, it was almost as beautiful a view as seeing Rachel pass into the next life in a blaze of glory. Almost. They stood around uncomfortably for a few moments, when thinking of Rachel and her message about Dahlia reminded him of something.
I almost forgot. When I was interrogated, I told them about Dahlia and the marks on her arm, but they never asked me what they looked like.
That's because they think the whole Dahlia thing is some sort of dread trick at best, Cassandra said. They're convinced she's real, but don't believe much you said about her.
Hilo folded his arms.
Yeah, whatever. Look, I'll draw them, and if you can get the Scholas to look into it, maybe it will help some piece of the puzzle fall into place.
Maybe Rachel had some paper in her desk back here.
Corinth's eyes shot up.
Rachel, the Unascended?
Yeah, well, Rachel the Ascended now, Hilo corrected, leading them toward the rear of the room.
They had her down here? When did she ascend? Corinth asked.
Just before you guys came in. It was amazing. Hard to describe.
They all stopped dead in their tracks, and Hilo turned back toward them.
What?
You saw it? Cassandra asked, face in awe.
I did. And he was quiet for a moment.
Haven't you ever seen anyone ascend?
I think we all have, Cassandra said. We celebrate them when we can. But when an unascended finally returns home, it's different. They say the light is so bright you can't see, and that one witness receives some kind of a blessing. Is it true?
Yes. All of it, Hilo replied.
You lucky little jawhead, you, Cassandra exclaimed. There's only one other unascended left. Silas, I think. Wonder what hole they have him stuck in. So what was the gift?
That I could call upon her name and I would receive whatever bestowal I wanted.
That is the bomb, Corinth exclaimed. I would totally choose beauty and never leave home without it burning loud and proud. With that and my guns and buns, I'd be irresistible, even to Cassie.
Cassandra shot him a disgusted glare.
You need help, Chumpkins, seriously. I do exorcise. It's rare and desperately needed out there.
Goldbow thought for a moment.
Holy wrath, for sure. Also rare, but totally unbeatable. I'll let Cassandra handle the beauty side.
Another affectionate smile. Clearly the two had bonded over something.
So what's it going to be, Hilo? Goldbow asked.
I haven't decided. I think I'll wait until I really need something and then choose.
He arrived at Rachel's desk.
Here we go.
Rachel's desk was scattered with papers and books. There were sketches of people and places taped to the wall, and the computer was practically buried, evidencing that its owner didn't care to use it much. Hilo found a pen and paper and started sketching when Goldbow interrupted him.
Did the symbols look anything like those? He asked, pointing to one of the sketches on the wall.
Hilo glanced up, and there, right by the desk, was a drawing of the three symbols he had seen engraved on Dahlia's arm dated 4 days ago. He carefully pulled the sketch down.
This is it.
She saw them, Hilo said, tracing the odd figures reverentially.
Saw you too,
And Dahlia, Cassandra added, pointing to the two portraits next to each other.
She must have been a visionary, Hilo commented.
Of course, Cassandra said. The unascended have all bestowals.
Did she tell you something before she ascended? Or did you just walk in and pow, she was gone?
Just some advice. Look, let the Skolas know these are down here. Who knows what else she has in this pile?
I'll try, but Ebenezer is a stubborn old goat who thinks you've got a great imagination, Cassandra said.
Give me a hug now. We've got to get going. We've got a lead on your mystery man. But don't ask. We've been told not to tell you anything. Sorry.
I get it. So what are you going to do? Goldbo asked. I can see if I can pull a few strings in the Michaels and keep you on the inside, even if it's just doing grunt security work.
Thanks, Hilo replied. I think I'll go hang out with Dolorum at the Redemption Motorcycle Club. Just don't get too attached to whatever new Gabriel they send to take my place.
The robotic heart extractors at Deep Seven impressed Hilo with their precision. They had his heart extracted, diced, and burned in a matter of minutes. To retrieve his sword and his motorcycle, he asked to be returned to the Midwest Operations Center where he had left them. As if to drive home the reason for his expulsion, two armed Michaels escorted him everywhere until he exited the Raphael's Goodwill barn with a nearly useless Ash Angel phone and $5,000. March had just turned the corner, and the air was still nippy, but the roads were clear as he powered his bike south toward Arizona and warmer climes. The day-long trip and the monotony of the highway whipping by cleared his head, though what Rachel had said about Dahlia bothered him. If biblical tradition was correct, claiming to be Cain's sister would make her 6,000 years old. Not only would she have been Cain's sister, but the daughter of Adam and Eve. A shiver went up his spine whenever he thought about it. Dahlia seemed sincere when she claimed the Aklima name for herself. Still, if she had been a dread for thousands of years, then she was probably a Mozart in the art of lying.
Believe her. If you do, she will save you.
Surely Rachel hadn't meant that he should accept everything the woman said as truth, but how one could trust a dread lay beyond his understanding. And on what path did Dahlia think the word Aklima would take him? As the miles whipped by, one word stuck out in his mind, a word both the man and Dahlia had said. Millennia. In the bathroom, the man mentioned he hadn't been normal for millennia. On the plane, Dahlia said she hadn't confessed for millennia and that she had known the man for a long time. If she were Aklima, as she claimed, and if she and the man had known each other for millennia, was she suggesting the man was Cain? When the idea hit him, he nearly steered his motorcycle into a ditch on the side of the road. He should have paid more attention in church. He vaguely remembered that God had cursed Cain somehow after he had killed his brother, but the particulars escaped him. As Phoenix slid up from the desert and into view the next morning, his mind writhed with questions. Dolorum was steeped in religious lore, and Trace sped forward, anxious to run the ideas by him. Before turning his motorcycle to the Redemption Motorcycle Club, he took a side trip to set himself up with a normal cell phone and sent his contact information to Cassandra. She never texted back in acknowledgement, and he wondered if she had a new mission already. He missed her. He missed his team. Filling the empty hours between missions had always cursed him. Now the missions were gone. What would he do all day? He arrived at the Redemption Motorcycle Club a little before noon. Dolorum's massive Harley and a sporty gray Nissan waited in the parking lot. Hilo removed his helmet and set it on his seat while he looked the building over. Everything damaged in the dread attack had been repaired by Dolorum and his faithful flock. The chapel side building looked clean and sharp with a fresh coat of tan paint on the redone stucco facade. A metallic silver cross over the doorway replaced the wooden one that had once hung there, and the motorcycle with the twin haloed exhausts had been repainted. Hilo pushed open the new glass door, a little bell jingling as he entered. The interior looked much as it had. The simple benches had been repainted white, but the podium and raised dais were just as he remembered them. A new ceiling fan spun at the center of the roof, teasing the loose edges of the motorcycle posters lining the walls.
The door to Dolorum's office stood ajar in the back, light spilling onto the shadowy dais. Hilo flipped on the lights. A woman's black purse sat on the back bench.
"Anybody home?" Hilo called as he walked up the center aisle.
The chair in the office creaked, but instead of Dolorum, Dahlia strode purposefully out the door, favoring her left leg. She wore her Hammer Bar and Grill outfit and regarded Hilo with a placating look, lifting her hands in the air in a sign of truce. The Vexus she had absorbed from the atrocity site still swirled about her, and however beautiful she was, the ugly associations of the plane wreck and what dark powers she held turned her into an object of fear. Hilo drew his katana.
"Where's Dolorum?"
She stopped in front of the podium.
"He wasn't cooperative, so I had to restrain him. Just hear what I've got to say, please."
"Make it fast, Dahlia," he growled,
everything urging him to hack her down despite Rachel's instructions.
"I have to know what passed between you and the man. Why did he want to kill you so quickly?"
"It's Kane, isn't it?" he said. "Devin is Kane."
She stared at him as if in a war with herself.
"I cannot speak of him. What did he say?"
Hilo weighed his options. His original theory that the man had sent her to find out what he knew made less and less sense. The man had to know the Ash Angels had debriefed him. The damage was done. Unless the man somehow knew that most of the Ash Angel leadership thought the reports delusions or lies. Hilo decided to tell her, though he would try to get something for the knowledge.
"I'll tell you, if you tell me how you managed to find me wherever I go."
She shook her head.
"I told you he forces us to keep these secrets. I can't tell you or I swear that I would. Believe her. If you do, she will save you."
"Okay, if I tell you, will you leave me alone?" he asked.
"If he lets me, I will."
"After your friends broke me to pieces."
"They are not my friends," she said,
face registering disgust.
"Sorry. After those guys broke me into pieces and tossed me in the tub, the man came in acting all cocky and started asking about my past. I saw the talisman he wears around his neck glow, and you came in as if summoned. He ordered you to get the camera. I'd seen that pendant before at the graveyard when he replaced Telemirin with the shed."
"That was your team in the graveyard?" she asked, eyes wide.
"Yes."
"He was furious after that. Does he know it was you?"
"I doubt it. He arrived late with the shed to do cleanup. That's when I saw him use it for the first time to call back one of the dreads that ran away."
She scrunched her eyebrows and sat down on the edge of the dais.
"And you've told all this to your superiors?"
"Yes." "Have you seen it?"
"No. I've never seen him wear a pendant of any kind recently."
"Are you sure? You said it glows when he uses it?"
"That's what I saw, Dahlia."
"Why have none of us seen it?"
she wondered aloud to no one in particular, staring into empty space for several moments until her phone went off. She stiffened and stood.
"Listen carefully," she said, speaking rapidly. "After I answer this call, there will be no peace for you. You are hunted, and I cannot disobey what I am told to do. Do you understand?"
"Yes," Hilo answered, the katana's hilt tight against his hands. She jogged toward the outer door, frowning. Before she reached the door, she turned toward him.
"Thank you for what you did for me at the bar. It's been a long time. I am sorry."
She turned back to the door and answered the phone.
"Hello,"
she said, stopping as she placed her hand on the handle.
"Yes, he's at the club. Yes, I am here."
After listening for a moment, she clicked the phone shut and threw it into the black purse.
"What did they say?" Hilo asked.
When she faced him again, the Dahlia he knew was gone. She was a puppet controlled by an unseen master, her eyes afire with a new purpose. To destroy him. Hilo brought his sword up. A desecrating red glow flowed out of her, painting the floor with an evil aura. Hilo groaned, his mortal senses livening. She charged. The footfalls came too fast. She had speed. She was on him before he could blink. He heaved his sword back to swing it. Too slow. Her open-palmed hit to his chest was so strong he flew backward 10 feet into the podium. The faux wood cracked and collapsed, pain lancing up his back and searing his mind. The katana flew from his hands and stuck into the back wall, wiggling there. He rolled himself out of the wreckage. She had strength. Dahlia! He came to his feet, trying to call forth the woman he had talked to but moments before. Only the instinctual animal remained. A torching red aura blasted outward from her, filling his vision. He staggered, fighting to keep his mind and his emotions his own, to keep Dahlia in his eyes, but it wormed its way inside. 2:45 in the afternoon. Basic training was over, and he'd been given a week-long furlough before his first deployment. Every attempt to call his mom and dad to tell them the time his flight would land had resulted in an answering machine recording. He waited on the curb at the airport, thinking they would have the decency to give him a ride. After an hour and a host of failed phone calls, he gave up and signaled a cab. He watched the trees pass by, every mile closer to home widening the hole in his stomach and deepening his trepidation. He was their son. They wouldn't turn him away. Once the cabbie deposited him and his duffel on the sidewalk, he stared at his parents' house. They'd lived in many houses during his dad's military career, but this one seemed less like a home than any of them. The red brick walls and low hedge around the yard did not invite him. They shunned him, told him to turn and leave. "I am their son," he thought it out loud this time. Straightening his uniform and hoisting his duffel over his shoulder, he marched forward and politely knocked on the door. The old wooden floors creaked as someone approached. When the door opened, his father, wearing his customary jeans, leather jacket, and army cap, frowned at his younger son, eyeing him up and down with distaste. "That uniform isn't welcome here," he said flatly and slammed the door. Trace walked the 5 miles into town. His conditioned body made easy work of the duffel and the distance, but his heart proved the heavier burden. He'd brought this upon himself, his stupid act of rebellion. His dad would never forgive him. He took a hotel room, throwing his heavy burden and then himself on the bed. Cast out, alone. Over and over he saw the face of his dad disappearing behind the slamming door. He scoured the hotel room for the remote, looking for anything to distract him. He opened the drawer to the side table, the remote sitting next to the complimentary Bible, each vying for his attention, each presenting itself as a solution. Bitterly he laughed, thinking of them as the proverbial angel and the devil on the shoulder. He chose the devil. He needed the angel. Angel. Rachel's burning glory as she ascended through the ceiling and the reliquarium flooded into his mind. The racking pain disintegrated. Remembering her freed him. He blinked. The ceiling fan of the Redemption Motorcycle Club spun overhead. Dahlia had his feet, duct taping them together. A sticky, bitter taste was on his lips. His mouth was taped, wrists too. She had extinguished her desecration, the numbness welcome. He took no half measures. With every ounce of strength, Hilo pulled his feet backward and kicked Dahlia. The blow shattered her ribcage. Flailing, she spun across the chapel, clipping the fan. Head first, she slammed into the back wall with such force it rocked the entire building. Drywall crumbled, dust rising. She landed hard on the floor, twitching, body too damaged to move. Strength gone, Hilo had to get the tape off his legs with his hands bound at the wrists. He ripped the tape from his mouth, but Dahlia had wrapped his wrists so thickly he had no hope of chewing them off. Once his legs were free, he ran into the office. Gagged and duct-taped, Dolorum's elbows and knees were bent backward. He lay like a discarded puppet, head against a gray metal file cabinet. The old master's eyes brightened. "1 minute," Hilo said. He hurried out to where his katana stuck out of the wall. After slicing through the duct tape with its razor-sharp edge, he returned and dragged the old master outside. Dolorum's indisposition would make the motorcycles impossible, so he shoved him into the passenger side of Dahlia's sporty Nissan and went back to grab their swords and her keys. Dahlia's purse sat on the bench near where she lay broken on the ground. A fine white dust from the wallboard covered her black pants and hair, chunks of the wall haloing around her. The crazed killer was gone. Dahlia, neck broken, stared up at him from the ground, eyes watering.
"End it," she croaked, voice rough. "Please, Hilo. She will save you."
"No." Tears slid from her eyes. He turned away and searched the purse. Once the keys were in hand, he ran back and pulled his sword out of the wall and retrieved Dolorum's blade from its drawer in a toolbox in the shop. He passed Dahlia one last time. Her swirling black and red aura beckoned for him to take her heart and burn it, as any other Ash Angel would have done. Her wet eyes pleaded for him to do it. The Vexus she had absorbed from the plane wreck demanded he do it.
"She will save you."
The phone in her purse rang, and he fled.